Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek Unlimited, episode 30. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me again this week is...
Dave, Joe, and Mike, hello.
Hello, welcome back, sir.
Yes,
I'm back. We should have the original co-host returning again next week, so should be fun having the three of us converse about something.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting.
Yes. Getting into some general housekeeping, since this is coming out, and regardless if GCR comes out or not, it comes out before, so think of it as a news update. Geekcast Radio, the GCRN Awards, did not record this week because, Dan was sick and Kevin had work obligations, so... we had to postpone it, so it'll be out next week.
Yep.
So look for it then. Everything's been tallied. It's kind of an interesting draw between everything. I'm getting ready to put the page together, but I have to wait until everybody's recorded it with me so that it's not a so it's a surprise. Got anything going on this week that you've been doing?
Not really. I am aiming for some high gear Batman reading with getting the pull bags. And, you know, people might say I'm silly for doing this, but, and I mentioned this on the show on my little guest run here before, I'm one of those people that I have to do everything in advance. Like, if I know I want to... And the reason why I do podcasting in advance is so I don't have to say to people, hey, can we get this done this week? Can we get this done this week? I mean, I do still say that, but I say that a month or so in advance and record everything in advance. That way, when it comes time, like, this month is Marvelous March. I recorded five episodes of the Marvelous March stuff in February. So I am kicking into high gear with Batman stuff because in May the pullback is going to do 75 years of Batman. I believe it's going to be 10 podcasts with you and I doing reviews on Year One, Dark Knight Returns, Killing Joke, some other stuff, and we'll have probably a Batman month once a year. I'm finding that with pullback, I'm really... reaching out there besides superhero comics. I read a description to you off air, I think it was last night or the night before or sometime this week, about John Layman, who is writing Detective Comics right now, and his run will end. Actually, I believe it ended this month with Detective 29. But he has his creator-owned title called Chew, and it's about this guy who has superhuman powers... because he eats or munches on dead bodies and can figure out who killed who and what. It's basically a cannibalistic Law and Order comic is what it is. And I just find that just strange, hilarious, sick, and wrong all at the same time. And I'm just trying to, this year and year two for the pull bag, I am really trying to stretch as far as what I'm reading and what I'm trying out and what I'm giving the listeners versus just, hey, here's the DC stuff this month, or hey, here's this month. I do know that we will be having, actually, in 2014, we will have three Marvel months. Currently, we're doing Marvelous March, which starts airing the 19th of this month. In November, we're going to have Punisher Month like we had in 2013. And then in December, we're going to have Daring December and cover some Daredevil stuff.
Yay.
This is right. Other than that, what else have I been up to? I'm kind of like the third wheel on a podcast called Talking About My Generation. I just show up and give my opinion on whatever they're reviewing. They have a Jem episode coming up because the lady on there really likes Jem. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll have to go find the DVD set and grab all the audio out of there. So doing that. You know, like I said last week, I'm just really, like, I am so ready and so stoked for us to celebrate year 5 for GCRN. We've got episodes 60 through 65 ready to go. Like, not all of them are recorded yet, but, like, the topics have been decided, and everything is just falling into place. This summer, I'm going to be bringing Tooncast Beyond back, and we're going to do something called AD, which I will reveal at a later date. And then this winter, we're going to do something super special and holiday-themed on Tooncast Beyond. Other than that, not much else is really going on.
Cool.
Yep.
Myself, I've been dealing with issues half the week. when I say that, I mean technical issues as far as websites are concerned. A site I got paid to build a while ago for whatever reason, and this is why I do not condone using Yahoo or GoDaddy, because the domain name is hosted with Yahoo. However, the issue relied on GoDaddy. They also have a WordPress site that I set up, and it's for the online magazine. For whatever reason, the .com quit working.
.com died.
The WordPress subdirectory, I had to go into the database and change it back to the folder it was in so that it would at least load in there, and I couldn't even get an HTML file to load in the root. So I know this is Greek to some people, and I'm sorry, but suffice it to say, the .com didn't work diddly squat, but the folder did.
You can't get the roots to grow, you know you got a problem.
So, for whatever reason, I tried it again today. I've been trying it all week, but nothing. Tried getting a hold of their support, and of course they don't answer any of it. So, their customer support sucks balls. I tried it again, the redirect, that's just one line of code. That's all it is. It's one line of code that's changed in the index file, and then it allows everything to work. In the index, or in the root folder. So I fixed that, which, mind you, since I completed the site, I haven't touched any of the files. They haven't changed any of the plugins or files. It just randomly quit on last Friday. And then it started working again today. So that, to me, tells me that they're worthless. not the site I built, but the hosts.
Yes.
The other problem was Sunday I get emails blowing up on me because our Canadian sister site, This Week in Geek, either got hacked or got massive explosion of spam comments, or their server told them that a lot of their plugins were depreciated, as well as their theme.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense to me that that theme is depreciated to the point that it was screwed up, which I'm thinking that there's some kind of a mass internet blast, like, attack that was going on across multiple hosts, because there were too many coincidences between different hosts going on. Mm-hmm. Plus, the theme that they were using was newer than version 2.0 of Geekcast Radio. And the current site, because this current site is technically version 3, and I just morphed it into what it is, which is version 4. Both the retro theme that, if you go to retro.geekcastradio.com, you'll see what the site looked like before it turned into what it is right now.
Right.
Up to the very last post that was on the site before it switched, which was kind of ironic that I did it that way. I went to the exact day that we stopped posting on that layout with that theme. So it's actually funny. But no, so that theme works fine, as does the current site. So that kind of boggled my mind, but suffice it to say, once they managed to get the site at least to load up, basically, because there were so many errors going on, I had to FTP and move the theme out of the folder, the one that was active, so that I could even get it to default by it, because WordPress, for those that don't know, it automatically defaults to or deactivates the theme or the plugin once it's moved out of that directory, so it will function. And it quit working, went to the default theme. I installed a new theme, got everything working again with all brand new plugins, and the site is golden. So they're back up and running, and that was like a two-day project for me. But and then our site went down.
Yeah, the funny thing was I woke up this morning and everything was honky-dory fine. I could use WordPress, everything else. I don't know, I probably went out or went to watch TV or did something else, and, you know, 4 hours later, you're sitting there DMing me on Twitter, "The site is dead! The site is dead! Oh no!" I never even noticed a problem. Because I just wasn't around, I guess, when it happened.
Yeah, I was like, you suck for that, because you didn't even get to see the problem. But anyways, I was going back and forth with support, and then come to find out that our web host was hit by a DDoS attack that affected their entire network.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, that's just wonderful. And so, but they had the site back up and running within a couple hours, like all of their accounts for the most part. I mean, with minor glitches, but everything is actually back up and running by the time we're recording this, which amazes me, because it was remarkably fast compared to the other two.
Yeah, Media Temple is some fast little rabbits.
I will say this, you do pay more, and it's not unlimited everything. It is limited, but you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
And they host places like Adobe and ABC. So I think that it's definitely worth paying the extra to have something that works 99% of the time over, well, you get the idea. So I think I've rambled on enough about that. So what we're going to do is, before we totally change gears, I figured that we haven't done listener questions in a while. So I figured, instead of bringing it up at the end of the show, why don't we bring it up in the beginning of the show? Now that I've bored everybody to death and I can cause quick controversy with the show. So the first question, which actually was brought up by Jason Ritter in the comments, was...
Yes, last week's episode.
Yes. He says, so who would you want to play the Joker in a solo Batfleck Batman film of the new DC Cinematic Universe?
Anybody except Green Goblin.
The thing about it is they will not, they won't do anybody over 40. Which is fine. They shouldn't be really that much older than Affleck. I don't agree with having Nicholson come back because he's too damn old. And
he's only 76.
The point is, he's in his 70s and Batfleck is in his 40s. That's not even a comparable, like, age bracket. Like,
yeah, but see, my whole point on last week's episode in the comments was, I get it that we're doing a Batfleck film, but my whole point was, my answer to Jason's general question of playing the Joker in general, I'm thinking, ooh, Jack could come back and he could be an old Joker, a la Batman Beyond. That's what my thinking was.
But
now, I know that wasn't exactly what his question was, but that's just what popped into my head.
But the thing about it is again, he's too old, and to mix Bat Beyond into this new universe is, it's just silly. doesn't make any sense.
DC's doing it with New 52, so...
They're mixing Beyond, but it's not Beyond. Because if Nightwing was killed in New 52 and then he's alive and Beyond, that tells me that the continuity doesn't mix.
I knew that would get a rise out of you.
So, he suggested Gary Busey or William Dafoe. If it was a choice between the two of them, I would go Dafoe all the way, but he's already done the superhero thing, so he doesn't really fit anymore. Gary Busey's just a nut job who doesn't need to be near anything related to comics. Before we get into it any further, Danner says Ben Foster, and Mike Powers says Rhys Wakefield, which Rhys Wakefield was in The Purge, and he was the guy, the head of the crazy group that was going around killing people. And if you look at his face, he actually has the mannerisms of like the Jack Joker in his face. He's 25, but I could definitely see, like, just with a little bit of extra prosthetic or makeup or whatever, he could look pretty freaky as the Joker.
Wasn't Ben Foster that guy that was in Evanescence or something or other?
No, he's another actor. He was in he was actually in X-Men: The Last Stand. And 30 Days of Night, and
I know who he is now. Angel. Okay, I don't know if I could see him playing the Joker.
I could see him playing like a pretty kick-ass Riddler, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know if I could see Ben Foster doing the Joker simply because he looks as young as Heath looked at the time when Heath was doing the Joker. And that's the other thing, honestly. For me personally, the Joker, you have to be able to get into that mindset. You have to be able to transform yourself. Both Jack Nicholson and Heath Ledger did that, and they both had excellent live-action Joker voices.
Well, the thing about it is again, that's the jumping to conclusions thing that we're doing.
Right.
Because we don't honestly know who would make a good fit. Obviously, these two actors look like they could play it very well. And again, you don't see the prosthetics on them or the facial makeup or anything like that. So there's no telling what they could actually do. But I'm sure there's some random choice out there that they have in mind that they're grooming. Because you know they're going to bring in the Joker at some point. It's just, I hope to God he's not in the Justice League films. Unless they're doing like the Legion of Doom or something and, you know, in a film.
That would be kind of cool if they did wild cards. The Joker has 25 bombs planted in Las Vegas.
Yeah, they won't do that. they're breaking the mold with that. But that's my thoughts on it. I think they should either get somebody new, like that's unheard of, or get like these kind of two guys. Although I will agree that they are too young. Yeah. If you're going against Affleck, who's in his early 40s, they should get somebody around the same age to play it. It leaves that to, you know.
I gotta double check this, but I just had an awesome, awesome thought.
Of what an actor? If,
yes. I gotta double check his age. Ben's 40, right?
I think so.
Ben's in his 40s. This would be so awesome. I don't think he could pull it off, though, but it would be so awesome if Ben's Batman and you had his brother, Casey, as the Joker, because Casey's 38. Ben's 41. That would be interesting. Ben and Casey Affleck as Batman and the Joker. That would be... Wow, yeah.
No,
that
would be kind of cool. You can't have two Boston accents in the same
thing. Oh, come on. You don't know what Ben's Batman voice is going to sound like. He ain't going to park the Batmobile in Harvard Yard.
No, he'll just sound like Daredevil. I'm joking. Don't crucify me. I obviously don't know anything about it yet, so.
Right.
But I don't think Casey Affleck would make a good fit.
I was trying to think of people around the same age as Ben, and I figure, who better than his own brother?
But, anyways, So I'm looking to see what you guys think, since we've rambled on about that for a while. The other question is, what makes a film Oscar-worthy to you? I only say this, and I guess we can bring it up more next time. You'll get to hear some of our opinions anyway on the actual award show of why we think things got rated where they did, as far as our list is concerned.
Yeah.
Because obviously Dan and Kevin and their special guests talked about it on NYR Weekly.
Right.
I personally have the opinion that films that end up getting into the Oscars are ones that I don't give a rat's behind about. More or less. I'm not saying that the actors and the actresses don't deserve acclaim, because they do. And I'm not saying that the films don't deserve acclaim, or the directors or anything, because I do. But I think that the way the playing field is set up, it's already rigged from the get-go.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm trying to say that, you know, oh, superhero movies are the best thing ever, because they're not. I'm not even trying to create that illusion, because I know that they're not. But right. I also think that there are other films that don't get a fair shake, because you get too many of these films like Captain Phillips or Gravity or Her or that kind of stuff. That's what I'm getting at. It's not that I'm saying that they're bad films in any way. I just, to me, they don't interest me at all.
See, to me, what it is with the Oscars is that the Oscars goes, like, the nominations go more for, okay, Gravity is a mass release film. It's a mass marketed as far as mainstream film going. It's basically this generation's version of Apollo 13. I'm just generalizing here, people. I'm not saying that one is better than the other. But that's what Gravity looks like to me as far as the marketing campaign for it and as far as the genre that it's in. And it's a mass market film, whereas, is it Spike Jones, Spike Lee, one of the damn Spikes that did Her, I don't even know. Like,
it kind of got shafted because of the fact that Gravity
right.
took away so many of the awards.
Well, see, here's my thing. Like, okay, I'm very much a mainstream film goer. I believe I've mentioned on this show, on my little guest run here, that, you know, I only go to the theater for stuff like Transformers or Captain America 2 or X-Men 7 or
you go for the comic and nostalgia purposes.
The big budget, you know, type of franchise films. That's what I reserve my theater going for. Now, do I know that Iron Man 3 isn't going to win Best Picture? Sure, I know it's not going to win Best Picture. But what I find is it's so funny. The Oscars takes the, you know, someone like me who might have seen a preview for, let's just say, Her or 12 Years a Slave or Gravity or whatever else, films I know I'm not interested in seeing in the theaters. They'll take those, put them in the Best Director or Best Picture or Best whatever. And then on the flip side, they'll take something that I do know, like Iron Man, and put it up for best soundtrack, best score. Like, what is essentially I don't want to say a secondary award, because all of the awards are, you know, it's giving acclaim and accreditation to the people that worked on them. And I think it's great that, you know, Brian Tyler got nominated for best score. That's amazing. But it just seems to me like all the films that I wouldn't necessarily know about get the noms for Best Picture and Best This. And to me, personally, they seem like indie films, because I just don't pay attention to them. I'm not saying they are indie films, but and all the other ones, like, you know, Dark Knight, that won for, what, special effects and whatever else. I mean, it didn't win a Best Picture, but it still won an Oscar. As far as what do I consider, as far as a movie for Oscar worthiness, I don't really pay attention to the Oscars anymore. I think they're one, the presentation of them as far as the actual airing of the event with the red carpet and whoever, you know, cliche host they want to get for the year. It just doesn't impress me. This year, I watched maybe 5 minutes of Ellen, and I was like, oh, God, let me watch the Kardashians. It's so much better,
well,
please.
I would rather not watch the Kardashians, but,
well, no, but
you're
I'm
a person that likes Ellen or you don't. Seth MacFarlane, or, you know, you either like him or you don't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I used to like her. She used to be funny. I think the problem is anyone that hosts that show has enormous shoes to fill because of past hosts.
Billy
Crystal. Why not just let Billy host it every year?
Well, I think, as a successor to him, I think Ellen did a great job.
That's
as far as I know without actually having watched it, because, again, I feel I can't relate to the Oscars because they don't actually have categories for
geeks.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, I understand perfectly, you know, all of these categories that they actually have in the Oscars are, you know, very noteworthy. So, I mean, I'm not arguing with the fact that everything got rated where it did. I'm just arguing with the fact that they don't have, you know, you have Best Animated Feature, which that one I agree with out of the entire list. But you don't have things that are, you don't have like Best Comic Book Film. You don't have Best Action Film. You don't have, you know, things like that. It's all these set specific categories that nobody really knows about anyway.
Yeah.
And so I don't see things in there that I can personally relate to. So I don't care where I think that's where we did it correctly in
the GCRN awards
is Dan and Kevin when they, because mind you, I'm, you know, Mike and I are more close-minded on film. I'm just going to say it, you know, we're more close-minded on film. I'm a little bit more open than you are. I'll at least give the films a chance once they hit disc or Netflix. I will watch them once they hit that phase. I just will not pay to see a film that doesn't interest me, at least in the trailer or premise of it. For the theater run, I'm like you, I'll go see a film that I know I want to pay to see in the theater. Whereas if it's a film like Gravity or that kind of thing, I would rather wait until it's on disc and then watch it and give it a fair shake rather than...
Well, I'm the same way, with the exception of the crappy Lego movie.
It was not bad. I watched it. It was actually really good.
Yeah, anyway, back to the host for the Oscars. Like, I don't find Ellen funny. It's not that I dislike her. I haven't found her funny in a number of years now. And what makes it worse is when Saturday Night Live parodies her.
Oh, they're god awful. Like, they're Saturday Night Live should, it's like Old Yeller. It should be taken out back and shot.
Shots. Yeah.
It hasn't been pertinent since the last time it was actually halfway decent. Betty White was on it.
Yep.
And then that was the last episode. It was actually good.
Yeah. As far as, you know, like you said, oh, well, some people like Ellen, some people don't. Some people like Seth MacFarlane, some people don't. Well, Seth, actually, because Dan and I did the Oscars last year for M-Wire, and Seth MacFarlane actually did the Oscars last year. And outside of the singing numbers and all that stuff.
Yeah, Show Me Your Boobs or...
Yeah.
Boobs or whatever.
Yeah, outside of the song and dance numbers, I didn't mind Seth as a host of the Oscars.
He's got that kind of host mentality, and it also kind of helps because he does a lot of the roasts.
Yeah,
hosting of it. I like the fact that they brought in Captain Kirk, and that was interesting. He's kind of vulgar, but. In some of his jokes and run-on jokes. But anyways, hosting aside, I don't find the Oscars to be as noteworthy as they could be. I think that it's one of those run-on dog things. Like, it's not the Academy Awards technically anymore. They just call it the Oscars, which doesn't really make it sound any better. But I think that more categories, being that there are new genres and new things that should be added to this list, for as big of a deal as they make out of this whole thing, of the all of these different award shows that go on through the year, they need to add new categories to them or update them or something, because I feel alienated even trying to pay attention to them.
Yeah.
Because some of those films I either haven't had a chance to watch yet or just don't care about.
Yeah.
I fully intend on checking out a few of these before the next record so that I can at least give a fair shake to argument's sake on some of the movies.
Yeah. The best Oscar show I ever saw was when Sawdust and Mildew won.
Anyways, I think we've dragged that comment on long enough.
Yes.
So we'll be back after this with some quick media news, and following that, the Blitz.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. promo teases Captain America's S.H.I.E.L.D., a new subtitle, and earth-shattering revelations. It still does not take away the fact that none of the main team characters are interesting to me anymore.
I'm kind of waiting to see, with this new direction that they're planning on going, because with them teasing Captain America's S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Uprising subtitle, and they've kind of alluded to the fact that something's going to happen, and it's going to tie in kind of with Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and Avengers 2. It's all connected in this giant thing going around right now. They're basically saying that the Marvel Universe is going to be changed forever.
Yeah. I mean, you know, part of the article says that the original logo for the show had the eagle with the eye patch, kind of foreshadowing that Nick Fury, played by Samuel Jackson, would show up, and he did. So maybe with them using Cap's shield as the background, maybe Chris Evans will show up as Cap. And anytime the Marvel Cinematic Universe main characters show up in the show, I'm fine. As the show has progressed, I don't find a single one of the team members likable for me personally. I just don't. I don't hate the show. I don't hate the characters. I just don't find them likable.
Well, when was the last time you watched an episode of it?
9 or 10.
Okay. It's gotten better since then. Okay. It really has. Because they started explaining things. Instead of just beating around the bush and going, oh, blah, 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 oh, Tahiti, it's a magical place, and, you know, all this these stupid little one-liners. Like, they actually are starting to actually dig into the series. Does it have the traction of Arrow? Hell no. Does it have the potential? Possibly. But I think where Marvel reigns supreme is the film universe, and where DC reigns supreme is the animated and their television stuff now, post Smallville.
There were bad times in Smallville, but there were some really cool moments as well.
There were, but the CW dragged it on way too long, which I know they're going to do with Arrow at some point, because they're already doing it with Supernatural.
Yeah.
But I'm optimistic to see where they take S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes. Shall we take a blue pill and not jump down the rabbit hole?
I'll let you cover that one. I don't give a rat's behind about it.
Okay, the only reason why I'm bringing this up is because partially I've been listening to the Reloaded and Revolution soundtracks from La La Land Records over the last 4 days. I guess this is kind of us feeding the monster, as someone so succinctly put it on one of the other comments. The article I found was from, the article you found or whatever was from Geek Nation, but they say that the story comes from Latino Review. I don't believe anything. Latino Review's website to me is basically the Onion.
Well,
for movie news,
sometimes they're correct though, and it's just and it's with anything, you got to take it with a grain of salt. But I mean,
right.
it's more so. I'm sure there are rumblings of it. It's just a matter of whether people are going to be excited or not.
Yeah. Well, the story is basically that the Wachowskis are potentially working on a new Matrix trilogy. Potentially, not, you know, the studios aren't confirming anything, but supposedly the first film in the new trilogy will explore the beginnings of the Matrix, which would basically say, hey, we don't need to have the cast return. Let's make these prequels and have a whole new cast. I automatically don't like that. I want to see how far Neo and Morpheus and Trinity and everybody has come since Revolutions. We know Mr. Smith won't be in it because he's just not... Well, look at what happened to him at the end of Revolution, so...
Yeah.
You know,
but... No, I'm kind of the same opinion. I don't really like this whole Star Wars route of doing the best four or the best three first and then going to the next three. That actually are before. I don't think going back and doing a prequel is intelligent on film behalf. I think you either move on or start a new franchise.
Yep.
I can honestly say I've never finished the Matrix trilogy.
Oh man.
I've never watched the third film.
It's not
for lack of trying. I actually have the first one. The second one I caught on HBO a while back, like years ago. And then the third one I kept trying to get a hold of, but I forgot what was involved with the second one, so I never got to actually watch the third. So I'll have to get my hands on those on rental sometime at some rental place that happens to be still open.
Yeah. I just, it's so funny this story popped up because I believe it was last night or two nights ago after we recorded this, or before we recorded this actually, but by the time people hear this, this is about Wednesday the 5th or so, I believe. I actually caught Matrix on cable. I forget if it was on Stars or if it was on, it might have been on AMC, and I still, outside of Neo's whole rebirth when he takes the red pill and jumps down the rabbit hole, outside of the whole rebirth and outside of the whole baby plantation thingamajig scene, those are the only two scenes in that movie that make me just go all kinds of queasy and no. Everything else in that movie though is absolutely fantastic. Absolutely love it. You know, all these years later, Bullet Time still rings true as a very awesome special effect. I mean, I can't say enough good things about the franchise. And again, I hope that if they are going to do a new trilogy, that it is after Neo. Or that it's still Neo continuing on or something. Like you said, I mean, you know, prequels nowadays aren't the best thing in the world. I mean, just look at Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, well, at least they are going back and doing a sequel now.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
So, have you seen the official look at the new Flash helmet?
Yes, I did see that. That looks interesting.
I'm kind of excited to see what they do with it.
I'm kind of worried, and they're basically using Arrow to set up all this new stuff.
Well, you got to think about it this way. Arrow is almost like the Batman of the universe that they've set up. So you have to kind of figure that they are setting it up with that intention, but the Flash, they already introduced him
through Arrow. Right, and that's what I'm saying. It's weird to me. Like, I think it's great that they're doing this. I think it's a good marketing ploy to set up all the characters in the show that's, you know, proven itself for one full season, and we're in the middle of the second season now. I think that's great. I just think it's kind of weird because are you going to have, okay, sure, you introduce the Flash, and then the Flash is going to go to his new show. But are you going to have, is it going to be like Angel and Buffy in the old WB days where you sometimes will have crossovers between the two shows?
I'm sure there occasionally will be.
And are they going to do, and are they going to do that with every single character that comes out of Arrow to get their own show? Obviously they can't do it with Batman because you've got Fox and Gotham, which we'll talk about later. But I mean, I'm interested to see what the Flash stuff is going to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what they're going to do, but it's I have high hopes for it, actually.
Yeah.
I think that they finally have a team that understands everything. So we may actually be on the road to a good continuity.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, so Wolverine's new look. He's looking pretty ragged in Days of Futures Past.
Old and grizzly.
Yes.
Old and grizzly, Bob.
Yep. It's interesting. I find it really funny that they've gone for more of a Kevlar Batman type of look for the uniform. It's not, you know, blue and yellow spandex, and it's not black leather like was in the original trilogy. It's cool. It's interesting. I just want to see a more close-up image, because this one image on here, the image at the top of the article doesn't, it's not a super close-up. I want to see the claws pop. I want a poster like we had with the X3 poster. I don't care how many people say, oh, X3, that movie sucked. I want a poster like that with the claws just on the poster. I don't think it'll happen, but whatever.
Never know.
Oh, you never know.
Yes. The first trailer for Ninja Turtles is going to be coming with Captain America.
The Winter Soldier. Yeah.
I'm excited to see what they're going to do with Ninja Turtles. I know I've talked some crap in previous episodes about it. I still am kind of leery on the concept of what they're doing to the characters, but it's still hard to tell until it's in some kind of visual form.
Yeah. I'm just happy they're not teenage tattoo alien fighters from Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I think I'd have to punch something.
You know, I've been really silent about the Turtles stuff. I've seen all the mock-ups and everything else that have been leaked online, and what really has me interested for the new Turtles film is to see how William Fichtner plays Shredder. That's really what I'm interested in,
yeah,
more so than the Turtles themselves. That's great that it's gonna premiere in front of Cap for a trailer, so at least we can see something of the movie, so everybody can stop basically doing what I do and bitch when you haven't even seen anything yet, because it's great if they show us mock-ups, or if mock-ups are leaked, or if early designs are leaked and everything else, and we get a glimpse. We don't get the whole picture, at least with a 30-second, 1-minute, 2-minute trailer. You get the whole, you know, some of the whole picture, and can actually see what the actual film is going to look like.
Yeah, I'm having high hopes. I can't wait to actually see this show up.
Yeah,
when I see Cap.
And
then finally, rounding out the news, I don't know if you've ever paid attention to this before, but have you seen the Jeff Gordon Pepsi commercials where he drives like a bat out of hell?
I believe so.
I mean, it's not really news of any kind. I just thought it was kind of funny. Yeah. Well, there was a first one about a year ago where he went to a car dealership and he had a camera mounted on a Pepsi can, like a Pepsi Max. And he had one on, like, his hat or, you know, they set it up in this Chevy Camaro. Well, he got this guy, this salesman from the dealership, and then proceeded to test drive it and then started driving like a madman all around these cleared out areas, scaring the shit out of the driver or the salesman. And he's going, holy shit. Like, and it's hilarious. Well, the vehicle website, Jalopnik, which also does other stuff too, but one of their editors runs his mouth about the Jeff Gordon thing and the Pepsi Max, saying, oh, it was fake, blah, blah, blah. Well, one of that guy's buddies set up another one to have the editor get stuck in one of those. But he had Jeff Gordon dressed up like a taxi cab driver and had it all rigged. Mm-hmm. And had, like, the glass and everything in the thing and made it look like an authentic, like, taxi. And it's another Chevy vehicle, like an SS or something. But Jeff Gordon starts driving like crazy and scares the shit out of this guy. And he's just losing it back there, kicking the glass and kicking everything, like going, ah, ah. And it was just funny. And then a cop starts chasing him. And then they pull up to the dealers or up to this building and get out and everything. The guy's freaking the hell out.
Wow.
It's just, it was hilarious. I watched that earlier this week. Of course, I also watched a video where, and I'm not going to go into the exact wording, but it's definitely something that Michael Wilson would get a kick out of with us recording a Transformers podcast, because we always go to YouTube.
Oh boy.
These guys from my parts department at work found this video of this lady that's telling a news conference or a news article thing on location. And it's live, and this guy just comes out of nowhere, runs up on real low, grabs the microphone and says effer in the, you know, and the location. And then it just all of a sudden like cuts abruptly. And the person in the studio that's showing like just a random like field or something, they're like, I'm sorry for that, vulgar interruption that happened there. We're not sure what happened. I apologize, blah, blah, blah. It was just hilarious because, like, the guy's reaction and how he did it. But it's not that funny, but it's funny just because of how quick he said it and how he just dove in there. Jeez. It was, like, something you would see on one of them stupid some kind of a comedy film in modern day.
Okay.
This guy runs up with a hood and he just grabs it. And it's, yeah. So I think we'll cut it.
No, wait. What? No, wait. We have to talk about the best dessert ever.
Ah, yes. I forgot that. And I killed
saw Mike. This. Yes. I saw this on Facebook this morning. The best dessert ever is a shot of milk inside a glass made of cookie. The taste bud teaser, Dominic Ansel, he's the master pastry chef who created the Cronut, has come up with another dessert so brilliant that the internet is salivating at the mere picture of it and wondering why it didn't exist before. A chocolate chip cookie milk shot, as in a shot of milk inside a quote-unquote glass that's actually made from a chocolate chip cookie. Can you say, I'd like 2 dozen, please? This thing looks amazing.
Would you eat it?
I'd eat it and drink it. I'd drink it first, then I'd eat the cookie.
And it'd be all nice and soaked.
Yeah, pretty much. But man, these things look so good. Normally, I don't go for the fancy bakery pastry kind of stuff, but This is so simple and awesome. It just, yeah.
It defies logic.
But it looks delicious, damn it.
I'm not saying I wouldn't eat it, because I would. I'd tear that shit up. But
yep.
But yeah, I just that's actually really cool. I'm seeing that float around everywhere. It's even floating around on CNN on Twitter right now. I was like, that's amazing. We're talking about it, and there it is. So I think we'll cut this down so we can get to the 10-minute blitz, and following that, a couple of short segments, and close out the show.
10-minute blitz.
Alrighty, we're back with the blitz, and well, I think that we should talk about a couple of different topics that are very short that happen to be kind of annoying throughout the week. Some of them annoying, some of them not. So I will start the timer for now, and we will talk about the famous Oscar selfie gets the Simpsons treatment. What do you think about that, sir?
Is this whole Oscar selfie thing with Ellen, is this kind of like Kanye interrupting
Taylor Swift? I'm going to let you finish, Swift? But...
yeah.
But yeah. My pants are full.
How did I know that was coming?
I don't know. It was a good Michael Wilson quote from a while ago, so yes, it had to come up. Yes.
You ought to finish the show with that. Anyway.
No, we have better outtakes now.
I don't know. Like, The Simpsons are fine for me. Like, I haven't watched religiously since God knows when. I've tried to watch episodes here and there, but I think The Simpsons have just kind of faded into the background of geek culture. I don't remember when the last time that I actually sat down and watched a full episode of The Simpsons. I really don't.
I don't know when it was the last time I did either. It's been quite a while. I know that they're still pertinent for the most part, but it takes them a little while longer. My whole thing with this is actually a perfect opportunity to bash the stupid selfie, because one, I think it's fucking retarded, pardon my French, that it's called a selfie. You're taking a self shot. You know, it's just say it. It's a self shot. It's not any faster than saying selfie. That sounds retarded. But I like the fact that Homer's being kicked out of the shot, pranking the whole thing. And somebody says, the ugly true story of the Oscar selfie can finally be told. Let's break Twitter again. Look for Bart.
See, that's the thing. I'm looking for him, and Nope, didn't find him in time.
Oops. You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Yes, that's right.
So, moving on. I found this earlier this week. It is the Jurassic Park computer system.
Oh my god.
Have you looked at this yet?
Yeah. Wow.
And you can actually move the consoles around, and you can actually somewhat type stuff in there. Like, not all of the dialogue works, but you can see the screen that was there when on the movie. And the fact that somebody turned this into a website is just genius. Although it does show you that they were using Windows 3.1, but...
Yes, well, that's how old Jurassic Park is by now.
Yeah, so, but I mean, I thought it was kind of interesting that this site even exists to begin with.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Wow, Windows has really come a long way since then.
Well, I mean, it's not really Windows, but the boxes look like a pseudo Windows. It's funny to look at regardless, just because it's so dated.
Yeah.
I think it would be an awesome nod if they had something like that, had the picture of the guy that goes,
Yeah.
In the new film. I think that would just be genius.
Boy.
So I think we've taken that one as far as we can go.
Yep.
So I will restart the timer. And we will go on with Doc Brown brings real Back to the Future hoverboards to Los Angeles. Even though it's a fake. It's a trap.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a crap.
It's a crap. It's a, yeah, they created a fake viral campaign and had Doc Brown show up in it.
Yeah.
What is your thoughts of this?
I mean, we're a year away from the 30th anniversary of the thing. Why not? And this actual hoverboard, that or fake hoverboard that they have here, looks 10 times better than the Mattel replica.
I agree. I think it's funny that it's called Hov-R.
Yeah.
I think it would be cool as hell if they actually invented this.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Because then that means that cars would actually be coming to that. No more tires!
Yeah.
Well, they'd still have to have landing gear.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
We just crash into really big trees. Yeah, so I mean, I agree with you. The hoverboard actually looks halfway decent because it's not like the pink Ford in it.
Well, it is. It is movie accurate.
Well, I mean, they have one in one of the images. They have another image that's not, but
right.
But I think it's kind of interesting. And then the fact that they have Tony Hawk,
he could do a 9,000 with those hoverboards.
I the level of editing going on in this is just amazing to me.
Yeah. Talk about a high-tech student film. What?
Oh, nothing. It's just fake viral.
Yeah.
Oh, yay, dismiss.
All right. So
I'll let you bring up the next ones, and I'm starting the counter right now.
Okay. These are going to be really quick, so hopefully I can do 5 minutes apiece with these. This first one is, I was going to bring up on the pull bag, but I don't feel like it warrants a real, you know, full-on news story here. Gail Simone's Batgirl 30 bumped by Marguerite Bennett's Batgirl 30. This was the solicited Batgirl number 30, written by Gail Simone, art by Fernando Passeron and Jonathan Galapion, covered by Alex Gardner, on sale April 9th. An ordinary day has taken a turn for the worse when Barbara Gordon must find a way to save her roommate, Alyssa, from fan-favorite villain Ragdoll. Dun-dun-dun. This has now changed. The contents of April's Batgirl 31 will now be moved to May's Batgirl 32, and 32 will be moved to June's Batgirl 33. Batgirl 30 will instead be written by Marguerite Bennett, with art by Robert Gill, and a cover by Clay Mann. In this issue, after a sinister game gone wrong, Batgirl confronts a supernatural legend risen from the primordial depths, the Midnight Man. The likelihood is that 30 wasn't ready in time, and this is an inventory issue created for just this occasion, we hope. This is a bleeding cool story. And DC editorial really makes me mad. Okay, sure, I get it. If the issue isn't ready, that's fine and great. But issue 27, I believe, kicked off... Yeah, issue 27 kicked off the Silver arc, the new villain Silver. And issue 28 last month continued that. And issue 29, as far as I knew, as far as I thought... Well, issue 21. Maybe issue 29 is the end of the Silver arc. I don't know. It's just one of those things where... It's kind of like the Zero year, where 23, 24, and 26 are the Batgirl wanted arc, but 25 has to be the Zero year tie-in. It's just crazy. It's just silly, stupid, and and the other one really quickly was the fact that apparently Andrew Garfield is a douche in real life. because he backed out of the Batkid segment at the Oscars. Because he says that his lines, he didn't like his lines. But apparently he is going to accompany the kid to Disneyland. I just can't, because the whole point of this segment on the Oscars was to, for the Oscars, for the Academy Awards, to promote this kid as an actual, to basically give him superhero status. Bat Kid is one of those, he's one of the Make-A-Wish kids, 5-year-old boy with cancer who played superhero in San Francisco. Yeah, it is kind of douchey that he did that, but I don't see a segment like this working on the Oscars, and the article even says it probably wouldn't have worked with the way the Oscars are structured. So I don't know.
Whether he stormed off or not is irrelevant, mm-hmm. like, because who knows? I mean,
yeah.
But I... For one, you're an actor. You're paid to say lines. Just shut up and do them. Like, yeah. I mean, really, you're not any more important than the rest of us. It's, I mean, any of us would gladly do that. I'm not saying that being an actor is easy, because it's not. Otherwise, most of us would be trying to do something like that. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. It was, for one, it was a partial charity thing. Two, it's an award show. I mean, for Christ's sake, just do it. But... Yeah. I also agree that it wouldn't have worked with the Oscars, and at least he, you know, ponied up and went to Disney with the kid. So,
yeah.
So I can't fault him really too much on that. So,
no.
And that was perfect timing. So that's it with the Blitz. We'll be back after this quick break with the All Things Transformers news segment. And we're back with the All Things Transformers segment. It is Transformers 4 time. Have you seen the viral image?
Yeah, I don't get it. I've seen it. I'm looking at it right now. I don't get it.
The TransformersAreDangerous.com.
Yes.
It's not the Transformers. It's TransformersAreDangerous.com. But anyways, yeah. It's got a picture of Optimus Prime and one of those like army... like recruiting images where it's all kind of like garbled and they're dangerous and it's just spread the word, join the fight, which essentially tells me that they're going to hunt Optimus Prime after all the work he's done to help the humans. Yeah, here's a big swift kick in the balls, Prime.
Well, have you seen the new trailer?
No, I haven't actually watched it yet.
I have. And that's essentially what's going on, is that they're hunting Optimus Prime. From what I saw of the trailer, I will say that I'm very happy with what I've seen so far. Michael Bay seems to actually be listening to the fans now, because we actually get Optimus's G1 alt mode in, I assume it's just his disguise. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be his alt mode for the entire movie, but it is his G1 flat nose cab alt mode, and it looks amazing. But, you know, I just want to see the movie already. You know, I'm through trying to analyze it or trying to figure out how the movie is going to suck, if it does or if it doesn't. I just want to see it and make my own assessments afterwards. At this point,
yeah, I'm kind of interested to see what they do with it. I like the fact that Mark Wahlberg's in it. I also like you said, the fact that they have the Prime trailer.
Yeah.
It's interesting because it's almost like they've set up Wahlberg to be Sparkplug. in essence, because he's kind of working on the truck and everything in a garage. And then the fact that he powers it on, you know, and the daughter's almost kind of like Jesse from the Marvel Comics run. It's almost kind of that essence. And then the boyfriend or whatever is almost like Buster from the comics. So I kind of get a lot of the correlations that are in there. I'm interested a lot more to see what's going on in this one. I think it's funny that they've kind of abandoned the Transformers in it, and Bumblebee's there, and I'm just wondering who all the main villain is going to be. I know that they have the Dinobots in it.
That's the other thing that happened in the trailer. Optimus Prime bitch slapped Grimlock.
Yeah, I'm actually watching the trailer now, and I see the ships floating overhead, and Bumblebee, you know, fighting in his current Camaro mode.
You know, the funny thing about this new movie, and it, I guess it's because I'm from Massachusetts that I started watching this show, but I don't know, it was one late night, didn't know what to watch, so every now and then I'll throw it on A&E if I see something. I'm like, ooh, the Wahlburgers, what is... Hey, it's the Wahlbergs, and they have a restaurant in Hingham, Mass, called the Wahlburgers, and it's this gourmet burger place, and it's basically Paul Wahlberg is the chef, and Donnie and Mark, are investors with him, and part of it was showing Mark out in Hollywood or on a jet, and Paul is saying, Paul was waiting for hours at the airport for Mark, and Mark is like, yeah, Paulie, I can just, say, excuse me, Mr. Bay, can we hurry this up? My brother's waiting. It's like, no, I'm not going to say that to him. So that was, Transformers 4, I'm really excited for it now. I'm really interested to see how everything's gonna play out.
Yeah, I'm kind of, after having just watched the trailer, while we were talking about it, I'm actually kind of geeked to see the film now, more so than I have been since the very first film. Because the very first film was the last time I actually enjoyed one of the films. I'm not saying I didn't like the third one, because I did, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I did the first, by comparison. But I have a feeling that I'm going to really like this film, just by not only the nods to the fanboy stuff that's in it, but also the new premise, and then the continuation without really needing the continuation explanation anyway. So I think
the only thing that really continues, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think the only thing that I noticed in the trailer that really continues from the third film is there's a sign where Chicago once was, and it just says, "Remember Chicago." I'm super stoked for Transformers 4.
Yeah, I honestly cannot wait to see it. I hope that everything goes as planned. As far as what they have going on, I hope that people don't get too like, oh, screw you, Michael Bay, because he actually is not doing all that bad for once. I have to give him kudos. This looks immensely better than anything else that we've got going on in the film verse so far.
Oh yeah.
So I say kudos to you, my hat's off, and I cannot wait to see this film this year.
Yep, same here.
So, I think since this episode's gone on quite a while anyway, rather than jump into another set of topics or another segment, I think we'll just close out the show this week, since we talked a little long about the Oscars and some of the other stuff that's kind of come up tonight. And we'll bring it up next week.
So you'll get to hear some of our comments about Batman Arkham Knight next week, as well as some of the Gotham TV show, and whatever else happens to pop up in the news, plus your comments and questions. So we will catch you next time. So thank you, as always, for joining us here on Altered Geek Unlimited. You can contact us in the following ways. You can call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. You can email us feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can visit the episode post on the website, geekcastradio.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can also get a hold of us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio, hashtag Altered Geek. My Twitter handle is at SCP21, and yours is, sir?
TFG and Mike.
So, as always, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. Later.
Hashtag for hash browns.
My pants are full. Would it kill you to raise a shovel?